Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Now what are you doing? That's just ridiculous.
What?
What, you got a manifesto you're ready to read on the air here?
What are you talking about?
If you haven't tuned in to stream the show live with video on twitch.tv or on youtube.com, search either for 971 The Ticket. And we were joking before the break that, you know, Doug had shown up with a black hoodie and a black stocking cap, and he looks like he's ready for a caper, like to do some burglarizing. Some thievery. And now, to start the segment, Doug's just gone full. He's leaning into it now.
Sure, why not?
You're leaning into suspect number one.
You know, the funny thing is, like this, Jeff writes in, Doug looks like an idiot with his hood up. No crap. The funny thing is, I wouldn't have worn the hat in studio. Like I had, you know, was cold this morning, as you pointed out in Crosstalk. But it was also particularly cold in here, and it was like the whole building. And so I kind of left, the hat stayed on, and I wore the hat into studio, which led to the look that I had.
Oh my God, he's still scary.
With the, what I was wearing today when I came into the studio, and you've turned the heat up.
Yeah. Well, still, I did to start the show.
Yeah. And I was, at one point I was considering maybe I'll take the hat and sweatshirt off because it was getting
toasty,
warmer, but I wouldn't describe it as toasty. Oh. But here's the other thing. I was cracking up. I looked out at the YouTube stream and there were no comments since the beginning of the show. Now there's like 50 in the last 5 minutes.
Something to talk about.
People said, well, we got plenty to talk about, but you took the conversation here. I am wearing a black stocking cap and a black hoodie. Doug is trying to find way to get money to get Lions tickets. That's from an unnamed texter. If I walk into a 7-Eleven and Doug is humping a Slurpee machine, I'm out of there.
I'll just take the monster.
Jeff says, Doug wearing his Johnny Cash costume, also knocking up a 7-Eleven, is incredibly irresponsible. Kevin says, I think Doug is auditioning for Heat 2.
Oh.
I don't know anything about Heat 1, so.
It's a movie. That's why you don't know about it.
Al Pacino, Robert De Niro.
This is great. John in Lake Orion says, Doug looks like the artist's renderings of the Night Stalker. Wow.
He's got some Unabomber to him now.
Yeah.
Well, with the hood up, obviously. But Unabomber wouldn't be so bold to wear the dark hoodie. He was like a gray hoodie guy and sunglasses.
Yes.
Very bold.
Were you trying to leave the house this morning without anyone noticing, or?
This was the look that I chose. Mm-hmm. But I go back to this. I'm going to wear this home, and my wife walks through the door. I'm going to say, what do you think of this look?
She's going to call 911.
Yeah, and she's going to give you her purse.
Yeah, that's, or
take
not.
Take everything.
I don't think, no, Doug's wife, she's a fighter.
Oh, you think she fights back?
I think she will start just, you better identify yourself.
It's me, yeah. Doug.
Next thing you know, here's the point of an umbrella coming right at you.
Right?
Well,
you know, if she's got groceries in her hand, eggs being thrown at you one at a time, because she knows that she's got to maximize them.
Well, I have no plans of any criminal activity after the show, but in case the occasion so presents itself, I'm ready.
Yeah, you may want to like talk loudly when she walks in so she knows it's you.
Honey, it's me. Okay. Again, go to Twitch or YouTube if you want to see what the look is. Let's get...
Might get you closer, too.
Well, I'll learn a little bit about her.
Spicy.
I might be out of gas if I stop at a 7-Eleven, though, on the way home. I mean, figuratively. Nolan Bianchi tweets out the following. Detroit Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn confirms that he turned down an interview with the Patriots. He just said it wasn't the best situation for him.
Yeah, being what some people have said, a token interview for the Rooney Rule. He's going to get a job, a legitimate job
probably,
that he earns and deserves. And hopefully we'll hear that announcement after, you know, February 11th or so.
Hopefully not.
Well, I don't want him to go, but I recognize he's a hell of a coach. And if I were one of these other teams, you bet your ass I'd want to hire him.
I would too. Hopefully, we will hear an announcement that the Detroit Lions have made him the highest paid coordinator along with Ben Johnson in the NFL. Far and away, the two highest paid coordinators, and they both opted to stay. That's what I'm hoping for.
All right.
But it was, yeah, I'll tell you what else is funny. One of the storylines in the DMV this week, as we lead in this game between the Lions and the Washington Commanders on Saturday night, is that Ben Johnson took his name out of the running for the Commanders' job last year. And I was listening to Adam Schefter's podcast, and he was talking about, could you imagine Ben Johnson calling plays for Jaden Daniels? And I'm like, I don't really need to imagine that. I don't particularly want to imagine that.
Well, totally different type of quarterback than what we have here. Mm-hmm. Which is, I think the Commanders are happy with what's worked out, and I think Ben Johnson's happy with what's worked out.
But I tell you what's funny is that's being presented as a storyline of them, you know, making Ben Johnson pay for not taking that job. But I'm thinking to myself, who would that be exactly? Because, I mean, it's, I don't know that Jaden Daniels will hold anything against Ben Johnson. I don't know the rest of the offense will. Certainly the new coaching staff won't, because they got the job because, like, this is, the owners are mad at Ben Johnson.
Well, this is one where it sounds good to start off with, and they say, so who are you mad at? Well,
yeah.
Shut up. Because you realize, wait a minute, we have no reason to be mad. This guy shunned us? We were jilted? I mean, we were mad a year ago. But we have no reason to be mad now because things have worked out. But what they may want to do is rub it in his face. Hey, this is a guy that didn't want to be part of what we were doing. But then again, that's you're right. It doesn't work.
It doesn't really work. Because
it doesn't work because you're the new guys.
The new guys aren't mad. The new guys got the job.
You wouldn't have the opportunity unless Ben Johnson decided to turn it down.
So it's not like the coaches could say, and he said you weren't good enough. So you got us instead? What? Now, going back, it's funny to revisit this because there were these dueling storylines. And I don't remember who linked this, but they were tweets that Jenna Lane of ESPN and Jason Reed of ESPN both tweeted out when Ben Johnson and the Commanders went their separate ways. I don't know which tweet came first, but they were on the same thread. Jason Reed tweets, been tied up working, so I missed the report on Ben Johnson supposedly interviewing so poorly with the Commanders, being the reason he informed the team he wouldn't take the job. This is an all-time banana in the tailpipe stuff, even as I type that. Jenna Lane says, was told that Ben Johnson was turned off by the Commanders' ownership. That they're basketball guys and felt they were a little too confident in their football opinions. Also, I heard he did an interview. Well, he said, but clearly not a good fit for both sides. So did he interview poorly or was he turned off by the ownership? And in the end, I don't know that it really matters because the Commanders are in a very good place. They are in a very good place, right?
Yep.
They're not only, we talked about it earlier this week. They have one offensive starter over the age of 30. They got a rookie quarterback who's doing unbelievable stuff. They have, I think, the third most cap space in the NFL this offseason. You know, we're not really in the business of predicting what's going to happen in the 2025 regular season or 2026 regular season. We do feel pretty confident that we're going to be a part of the chase in the NFC. I think the Commanders are going to be right there. That is a team that if you haven't already bought stock in, buy stock in them. Because I think the Commanders are going to be right there. And the Jaden Daniels thing is a big reason why. But they're in a, that's a very healthy organization. It's all worked out for them.
Yeah, I would think so. They should be very proud of what they've done. And they've got very bright future. And they've got a legitimate shot at knocking off the Lions on Saturday night. We all hope it doesn't happen. But if they're going to manufacture some kind of chip on their shoulder because of Ben Johnson turning them down, okay, go ahead. But it's a strange chip to cultivate. But whatever you got to do.
I mean, maybe they can. Maybe they can somehow authentically make them want to beat Detroit even more. I don't know. Motivation's there. I'll just say this. My gut's telling me not yet, Commanders. With that said, we have some predictions for this game. We will get to them at 12:18 and another edition of Are You Gonna Eat That at 12:32 here on Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Get ready to elevate your game in the NFL playoffs with FanDuel, because right now all customers can get a no-sweat, same-day NFL parlay for any game. Just place a three-leg NFL same-game parlay, and you'll get bonus bets back if your bet doesn't win. Same-game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday. You can build your own or choose one of the popular same-game parlays pre-built for you in FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. Just saying. Five of the six playoff games last week, the under hit, and the only one that went over had a pick six and a blocked extra point return for two. So what are you waiting for? Get your no-sweat same-game parlay on America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/Doug. FanDuel is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in is required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Maximum wager is $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply, including token expiration. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. I am mad, Gator.
Mad?
I am mad. Not at you.
Cops saw you around the corner?
No.
What?
I'm mad at Sargento.
Don't wave your cheese at me.
I have a cheese stick that I...
Yeah, Gator doesn't like you waving your finger or your cheese stick at him.
Yeah.
I got a cheese stick that I cannot get open because...
Individually packaged cheese.
Stupid Sargento. Although all my family will laugh and say, Dad's terrible when it comes to packaging.
It's true. You got a scissor, pair of scissors?
I do not. There's no scissors in studio. I can go get some during a commercial break, but stupid Sargento. Okay. So got some predictions. Washington and Detroit. Seems like CBS is always the first to come out with their predictions for the weekend. John Breach of CBS. Jaden Daniels has been playing out of his mind, and now he gets to go up against the Lions defense, surrendered the third most passing yards in the NFL. Lions are banged up on defense, and Washington's offense is good enough to take advantage. If the Lions want to avoid an upset bid, the smartest thing for do might be just to run the ball on every play. The Lions average 146 yards a game on the ground, sixth best number in the NFL, and the Commanders' defense ranked 30th at stopping the run. One thing I will say is if you like watching points, this is the game for you. Dan Quinn coaches every game like he's about to blow a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl, and I think that Super Bowl loss might have given him PTSD because now he coaches with his pants on fire. Washington hasn't made the NFC title game since 1991, and in that game they played the Lions. So I'm going to get crazy and go full circle here by predicting that the Washington Commanders beat the Lions to get back to the NFC title game for the first time in 33 years. The pick, Commanders 34, Lions 31.
Who is this?
John Breach of CBS Sports. He's taking the upset, Gator.
Never heard of him.
He's taking the upset.
Well, he can take the upset. Go ahead. And I think there will be others that do that too. Washington's a really good football team. I think the Lions match up well. And I've said before, I started saying it this week, I think the reason they match up well right now is just not a happenstance. It's the injuries to Carlton Davis, and it forces other people into different positions, which I think might make them stronger in a game against a quarterback like Jaden Daniels. Because now you've got Brian Branch that can play the slot corner. Amik Robertson did just fine last week against Minnesota's receivers on the outside, so you want to put him on McLaurin? Okay. And then you've got Melifonwu, the hard-hitting safety, the playmaking safety who's out there with Kirby Joseph. I just like that secondary. I think it's a good secondary. And now you've got more time for healing for these guys too, in particular Alex Anzalone, who was a beast in his first game back and would expect him to be even better because he's healthier and ready to go. I like what this team has to offer defensively against Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. Now, I think Jaden Daniels and the Commanders are going to score some points, but if the Lions hold them to three touchdowns or less, I think the Lions win this game going away.
Well, my whole thing is FGA, right? Field goal attempts.
Yep.
Hold them to field goal attempts, and you're going to win a game with this offense, which consistently performs week in and week out. I really do enjoy their efficiency. I mean, because here's the thing about it. I know some people don't like that the quarterback isn't particularly mobile. I'm so impressed because the quarterback isn't particularly mobile. It means that plays are designed and executed the way they're supposed to be. The offensive line is so good. Goff is so good. The receivers are so good. The running backs are so good. Tight end is very good. All the tight ends are so good that what you end up getting is a football operation that operates like the owner's manual suggests it should. It's not a lot of improvisation. It's so well designed and then executed.
Yeah, but I mean, there is an element that obviously that what Jaden Daniels brings that Jared Goff does not, but Goff brings so much more to the table at this point than Daniels does. Now, Daniels may get there. He looks great right now, but I don't think he processes the game as quickly as Goff does. But Daniels, break down, he can take off and go. But the Lions offense, everything is predicated on being able to run the ball effectively. And if they can do that, it unlocks everything else. And there haven't been many teams have been able to keep the Lions from running the football well. And with a healthy offensive line, even though Zeitler is a limited participant in practice, after reading a quote yesterday from Levi Onwuzurike about Christian Mahogany and Giovanni Manu, about how they have progressed so much in practice, that those guys have really, really improved. And we saw Mahogany when he got a chance to play. They didn't look out of place running the football. They did just fine. That I am not worried at all if Zeitler can't go. They've got the guy that can step in. They're going to be able to run the football. And if they do that, the play-action passing game is the best in the NFL. If they're able to run the ball, that keeps the defense honest, and they have to be wary of that. It just opens everything else up. Then, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to get open for his routes. Sam LaPorta is going to get open for his routes in the shorter intermediate game. And then, of course, you're just waiting for the take the shot to J-Mo all over the field. And this is a well-oiled, well-rehearsed team that can get the job done.
I'm confident in the Lions because of the run game. Defensively, I just don't want people... I think Aaron Glenn's done an unbelievable job with what he's been given throughout this entire season with all the injuries that mounted up, but the last game, they looked great against the Vikings. But then you saw what Darnold did against the Rams. I mean, was that kind of part Darnold just reverting back to what Sam Darnold was maybe this whole time? Or was that the defense, right? I think you lean on the offense like you always do. And the clear advantage is the Lions can run the ball and the Commanders have a hard time stopping the ball. They're like the 30th ranked team in rushing yards allowed this year. Bobby Wagner, solid veteran, but he's 34 years old. He's not the same player he was a few years ago. He got truck-sticked by Baker Mayfield last week. I know that's just one run, but my point is he's not the same player he used to be. If Monty's healthy and Campbell says, you know, there's a place for him in this game, and Monty yesterday said, listen, I wouldn't be going if I wasn't ready to go, You got Gibbs and Monty back together. Run the ball. Soften up that defense all day long. Defensively, you're right, Doug. Field goal attempts. Bend but don't break. That type of thing. Because you are going to give up some points at some time. I mean, Jaden Daniels, Terry, that connection's been going well all year long. So I just outscore them. Hold them enough on defense. But just run the ball as much as you can.
The whole FGA thing is easier said than done, right?
Yep, I mean, absolutely.
It's what you're going to try to do. And by that, what you try to do is force the other team to go three and out every time. Like, that's what you try to do, but that's not realistic. So given what this defense puts on the field and how good Jaden Daniels is, yeah, it's a you know, if you hold them to field goals, I'm sorry. I just don't see them losing this game. Pete Prisco has his prediction on CBS Sports.
Oh, Pete Prisco. That's a name I've heard.
He said this should be high scoring. The Lions are dynamic on offense and have defensive issues. The Commanders with rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels can score as well. Daniels will be even more electrifying inside on the fast track, but the Lions will get theirs as well. The Commanders might not be ready to win a game like this, especially in this environment, but they will hang around. Daniels is that good. Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn will send a lot of blitz looks at Daniels, but he will hold up and make some big plays with his legs against the blitz. But in the end, it will be the Lions who advance with a strong showing from their offense led by Jared Goff. He will hit some big shots downfield against Commander secondary to win it. Lions 34, Commanders 31. Now.
Same score.
Yeah, Prisco picks the Eagles to beat the Rams 23-20. Breach picks the Rams to beat the Eagles 23-20. So these two CBS Yahoos picked the same score for both games, but for the opposite team. Results. Does this feel
fishy?
It does seem fishy, doesn't it?
They don't like me calling Yahoos, by the way, either, Doug.
I should apologize. Yeah. I shouldn't insult them.
Totally different.
Yep. Yeah, that's a different website.
Yeah, that's not theirs.
Yeah.
Dan Wetzel.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Keep them out.
Wetzel's the Yahoo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Keep them out of your mouth.
I apologize.
However that works.
Breach picked the Rams to be Philly 20-17, not 23-20. So I'm wrong. That's my bad.
You're the Yahoo.
I am the Yahoo. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the show on the Odyssey app. Download it for the mobile device today. AUDACY. That way you can listen to this program anywhere in these United States and some parts of Canada. We do know that we are getting more and more calls from outside our area, and we love it. Also, thank you, those of you listening on our website, DineSomeOneTheTicket.com, where yesterday we posted Champ and Chump at a weekend. Then there's a streaming with video where everybody's talking about my outfit today. Go to YouTube.com, search up 971TheTicket, or go to Twitch.tv, search up 971TheTicket.
I worry a little more about the defense because one thing, they played so well against the Vikings, but I think the refs allowed them to play physical. And depending on the crew this weekend, if they're not allowed to play as physical, this could be a high-scoring game because then Washington's going to be able to move the ball because either they're going to call the penalties or the Lions are going to have to back off a little bit. Because you saw it, right? I mean, the Viking players, they're complaining the entire game about holding and illegal contact.
So, and it's crazy because that was the crew. That crew had thrown more pass interference flags than any crew in the NFL going into that game. And yet the Vikings thought there should have been more flags thrown. I haven't seen who the officiating crew is for this game yet.
I did see it yesterday. Somebody had it and I can't remember who the referee was.
We'll take a look at their trends because these are the conversations, the stuff that happens on the margins that can impact a close game. Another edition of Are You Going to Eat That? Coming up shortly here on Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Victory is mine. I actually opened up the Sargento cheese stick during the commercial break.
Way to go, Doug.
Took me three commercial breaks to get it done.
Attaboy.
Yep. I celebrate the small victories in life. Who we got next here? Don is on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Don.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, going on with Hooker, where do you guys see him standing at? It doesn't feel like a love being groomed behind Rodgers or Rodgers being groomed behind Favre, but are they holding on to him to be a draft pick? I mean, I'm sorry, a trade pick in the future? Is he grooming him for a backup? What do you do with a like a first rounder he would have been if he was not for the ACL injury? We're holding on to a first round pick here. What do you think the future is with him?
Well, I don't think they're holding on to a first round pick because he hasn't played a ton and nobody would value him as a first round pick right now. I mean, he's there to be the backup to Jared Goff for now.
But I'm saying, you think they're holding on? He's got one more year left in his rookie, right?
He'll be 2 years because this is just his second year.
Okay, I'm saying it's one more year after this. So I'm saying, you think they're really holding him on to him to be taking the Rome after Goff, or is he going to be a trade value?
Well, he doesn't have much trade value, given that anybody who would be taking him would be doing on faith that he could be developed. They'd be, and the Lions couldn't expect to get much. I don't know that they really have made up their minds yet. It is very interesting that they signed Teddy Bridgewater. Getting a veteran quarterback in here to compete as the backup. I have asked myself, if the Lions are fortunate enough to get up 5 touchdowns in the fourth quarter in one of these playoff games, and they're in garbage time, who do they put in?
Doesn't Hooker get that playing time?
I would think he does.
I think it would depend. I would think they put in Bridgewater because they signed Bridgewater in case he needs to win a playoff game for them.
Well, the answer is who's getting any reps in practice. And I think the reason you signed Bridgewater, they probably knew what they were going to do after last year when Bridgewater announced his retirement. I think they definitely kept that door open and that he said what he wanted to say, right? I want to coach the high school team and let me see where we're at after that point. He knows the offense. That's huge. You know, to get somebody in here that doesn't need to, learn something brand new because he knows the offense. That's one reason he's here. Another reason is because he's got great mentorship ability with not just Hendon Hooker, but with other players on this team. The close relationship he has with Jamison Williams. So I don't know if Teddy Bridgewater plans on playing next year. I wouldn't imagine he is.
I wouldn't either.
But Hendon Hooker's future is up in the air. I mean, I imagine that they feel pretty comfortable with him. You go through another offseason and then training camp next year, and you get a look at him, and I think he'll probably look pretty good when it comes to training camp next year because he'll have been in the system for a couple years now. The first year was all clipboard and, studying type stuff because he wasn't on the field. And then all this year, different story. And when they went to him at some point this year, he didn't look out of place. He looked fine.
So they brought back the emergency third quarterback, right? And Kang? They brought back the emergency third quarterback, right?
Yes.
Okay. It'll be intriguing to see when they play Sunday. Who's the emergency third quarterback? Is it Bridgewater or Hendon Hooker? Let me be clear. I don't care who it is. I really don't. I think the only reason, though, that you would bring in Teddy Bridgewater at the time that they did was just in case Goff, you could get injured and miss a series or two. You can get injured and miss a half, come back the next week, or you can be done. And I think it's possible. I don't know this. I think it's possible that guy would be Teddy Bridgewater, but we'll probably learn a lot when we see who the emergency third quarterback is, right?
I guess, yeah. I mean, look, I think Bridgewater's you want the experience over Jake Fromm, and Jake Fromm's not going to go. He's on the practice squad, so
we'll see.
Hopefully, we never even have to worry about it.
But now, yeah, and again, the Hendon Hooker, that's not really what he asked. He asked about what the future holds. I don't think they know yet what the future holds. I don't think they've defined what Hendon Hooker's role might be here moving forward. Let's get to another edition of Are You Gonna Eat That? All right, Gator. This was made available at the Ravens game this past weekend, and I suppose it's possible the Ravens would host the AFC Championship game, and this would be made available again. The Ravens, for $17, made available a smoked turkey leg with Maryland crab dip. This is a turkey leg that you can dip into crab dip. Gator, for $17, are you going to eat that?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. I mean, you have me a turkey leg. I like the turkey leg. That's fine. Prefer turkey breast, but the leg is delicious. Crab dip, it's Maryland. They're all about crab. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm intrigued by the combo of turkey and crab.
Kang, Ravens turkey leg with crab dip. Would you eat that?
I love crab dip. Maybe not as much as Gator did that one day where he made the gallon.
I got a little excited.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, I'm in on this. Definitely. I think turkey can be dry sometimes. I think the crab dip might you know, moisten this up a little bit too. So I think it's might be a nice combo you never thought of.
So what's interesting about this is I have found the most of the turkey legs that I've purchased at a concessions when I go to the LARPing festivals that I go to. I find that they I don't find them very good.
No?
But I would try this. I would try this. I think this sounds like it's got great potential. So it's 3 for 3. Next up, Sprite Gator is introducing a new flavor. It's taking a popular beverage blend that was trending online and turning it into a brand new soda.
All right.
Sprite plus tea is on the way. The idea originated from a viral trend where fans mixed tea bags with Sprite to create what some dubbed the most refreshing drink on the internet. Sprite clearly saw its potential and ran with it. And now Sprite plus tea is a full-fledged product. The new drink is described as a refreshing blend of Sprite's iconic lemon-lime taste and the crisp iced tea flavors. It will hit shelves this spring in both regular and zero-calorie options.
Yes. I was waiting to hear if it was going to be zero sugar. And yeah, I would definitely try that without question. I don't know if it's good or not, but I'm intrigued. I like Sprite.
I'm a sucker for flavored iced tea. Like when I see a restaurant has a menu like raspberry iced tea or strawberry iced tea.
You and Evan.
Yeah, exactly. Like this reminds me of the time when Evan went on a date with his wife, and she wasn't his wife at the time. And they are sitting down and ordering drinks, and he asked the waiter if he could order all the different types of iced tea, and she looked at him in disgust. She was actually visibly upset that he would even ask that question because he loves flavored iced tea as much as I do. Yes, so the answer is yes, and I'll answer for Evan, too. The answer is yes for Evan.
So what's funny is I'm a huge iced tea fan as well,
all right.
And I've had more of the Arnold Palmer half and half zero cans of iced tea than I have Sprite in the last decade, like by 100-fold. I would try this.
Wow.
Right. I think this sounds interesting.
Kenny, the turkey leg crab dip. Curious what you would say about that.
I'm all on board. I like a turkey leg.
Okay, fair enough.
Hell yes.
Doug, turkey leg crab dip out of Kenny's beard.
No. next up, Cheetos is releasing a new flavor just in time for the Super Bowl.
All right. A little leery about this.
Do I need to go even further? Any further? Or are you going
to
say
you
yes?
Need to keep going.
Cheetos Puffs Cheese Pizza flavor. It tastes just like a slice from your favorite pizza shop, combining elements of classic cheese pizza, cheese tomato flavor, notes of oregano, and Italian seasoning. Cheetos Puff Cheese Pizza flavor now gives fans a new way to enjoy this iconic dish.
Yes, I would absolutely 100% try this. I do like the Cheetos Puff. I like the puffy ones. I like the regular Cheetos, the crunchy ones. Those are great, too. Pizza flavor. I mean, you almost have me a pizza flavor, but finding it with this, absolutely, I would try this.
Kang?
In fact, I'm drooling a little bit.
Yeah, isn't your favorite, like, combo the pizza
combo?
Pizza
pretzel combo was the greatest. Yeah, my favorite snack food you can get.
I'm in, Doug. I'm in. I love this stuff. This is innovation at its finest.
I am out.
Aww.
What?
Come on.
I've told you my Cheetos theory before.
He doesn't.
If it stains your fingers that bad, what does it do to your stomach lining?
But you're wearing latex gloves today, so what difference does it make?
Next up, Pepsi is releasing a cherry and cream flavor Pepsi into its permanent lineup. Launching a new flavor, Wild Cherry and Cream, a juicy new version of the drink, which combined notes of cherry and vanilla alongside the mainstay cola flavor, joins the brand's permanent lineup with both full sugar and zero sugar options. To reflect the cream in its name, Pepsi tells us that the beverage has an almost silky mouth feel with a contrasting zing of its familiar wild cherry flavor. Gator?
Yeah.
Pepsi Cherry and Cream. Are you going to eat that?
Get on top. Yeah, I would try this. Zero sugar. Look, cherry Pepsi, cream soda type Pepsi. You combine them together, make a cherry cream Pepsi. Yeah, absolutely. I'd try it out. And I think it would be excellent to mix with some, you know, some spirits.
Can you?
Generally, I'm not a Pepsi guy. Like, I'm Coke over Pepsi. I think people have other preferences. That's mine. I would try it because I do enjoy a good pop flavor, but I'm not as much in as I think Gator is.
Yeah, I'm a no.
You're
sounds
a no.
Like a bit much.
You're out. You were out with pop, probably.
No, I mean, I'll have a Diet Pepsi, Diet Coke. I like root beer. I do like root beer, but...
You like ginger ale?
I do like ginger
ale. Yeah. You seem like a ginger ale guy.
But this is too much, all this?
Yes. Pizza.
Even a zero sugar version?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you ready for the next one from Pizza Hut?
I am.
Announced on Pizza Hut's China WeChat, they're dubbing something called the Goblin Pizza. Are you interested in the Goblin Pizza, Gator? Are you going to eat that?
I need to know what's in it, Doug.
This pizza contains a deep-fried whole bullfrog resting on coriander with a hard-boiled eggs and black olives
Absolutely
serving
not.
As its eyes.
Absolutely not. A bullfrog?
Here's a picture.
That's disgusting. What are you doing? No, that's not even true. That's not even really a story. That's made up. That's farcical. No.
What?
Yeah.
So Gator says no. Kang, you into bullfrog pizza?
I'm out, but I know you're in because bullfrog's the other white meat. So
all three of us are out.
No, you
on
like
that.
White meat only.
Yeah,
bullfrog.
Bullfrog.
And tastes finally, like Gator, Peeps toys.
Nope.
Have come out with Peeps for dogs.
Nope.
Popular in the spring, especially around Easter. For years, they have a Milk-Bone marshmallow Peep. Dogs can now safely participate in springtime and Easter fun with these marshmallow Milk-Bone Peeps treats. These treats come in 22-ounce bucket of fun shapes and colors like yellow chicks and pink bunnies that look like the original marshmallow Peeps that they make for humans. Best part about these treats, they have artificial marshmallow flavor, which dogs will for sure love. Gator, the Milk-Bone marshmallow treats, are they in Lois's future?
Absolutely not. You know, Peeps are disgusting to begin with. They're not suitable for dogs. And then they're going to make one specifically for dogs?
Come on!
No, 100%
How do you know
no.
Lois doesn't want it?
Lois will want anything, but she's not going to get it.
Why, are you going to deny her?
Well, she also has a condition, so she's not allowed to have
Peeps?
Anything other than what she gets, which sucks for her. I feel terrible for her, because she's got pancreatitis, so she can't eat things like this. Absolutely not.
So you're out no. for Lois.
But I would have been out even if Lois didn't have pancreatitis. I mean, no. I couldn't do that to my dog.
No?
She'd be looking at me like, oh, no, you don't. Trust me. This is awful. And she might, I could see her spitting it out right away. Like if you try to give her some medicine, like a pill, and you put some peanut butter around it, and she eats the peanut butter and spits out the pill, I think she would spit the peep out right away.
Kang, you don't own a dog, so.
No.
Yeah. Neither do I.
Doug, for your cat?
Don't own a cat anymore.
Oh, I thought you got another cat.
No, we didn't get another cat. So.
But you're going to get a dog, though, right?
What's
yeah,
that?
You're getting a dog.
You're getting a dog.
Oh, the kids wish. They swear they'll walk it. They'll take care of it. They swear. Right.
Yeah, for all that time they're going to spend at home?
Yeah, exactly. And there it is. That concludes another edition of Are You Going to Eat That? It's Carson Anderson, 97.1, The Ticket.
It's really hard to find great service, so when you find it, you tell everybody about it. That's why I'm telling you about Precision Garage Door Service. They're amazing. You got issues at garage door? Only one place to call. It's Precision. I know this firsthand. They've come out in my house a couple of different occasions, one for maintenance because it was making a lot of noise. The other time, a couple years later, they told me, you're going to have to get new garage doors. And sure enough, the time came. I needed to get new garage doors, and they were amazing. Jeff was on his way to my house to assess the situation and made sure he had all the options lined up for me. I was able to pick out the perfect garage doors for my house. I know they'll do the same thing for you. The technicians are knowledgeable, and the service is absolutely stellar. Call Precision right away. 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR or visit them at precisiondoormi.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I got an SEC buddy, Eric, who sent me a story. It was a press release. And he said, could not keep us out. And the press, he wrote, cannot keep us out.
Okay.
SEC officiating crew assigned to national championship.
Listen, the game just means more. So they need to get the crew that where they know it means more.
Yep.
Well, somebody from the SEC has to represent in the in some kind of participation.
Hey, they'll be there. They'll be there.
In spirit.
Yeah, they'll be overseeing it.
Yeah, they'll be, you know.
I mean, the whoever officiates a wedding isn't getting married, but they're there.
This is true.
So
it's just a shame, you know. they've had all this dominance and now second year in a row, they're not going to be hoisting a.
I'm trying not to do something that I found very irritating. Is that is SEC schools co-opting all of the conference success as their own? Like, you know, chanting SEC and sort of claiming everything that's done in the conference is all of ours and blah blah blah. But if Ohio State does win the national championship and it's back to back national champions for the Big Ten, the only reason that I would fly that flag is because the SEC does it. You know what I mean? As a counter to them.
Yeah, well, it's also, you know, one of the blue bloods of college football and a stalwart in the Big Ten. It's not like it would be recently a recent addition like Oregon or Texas in the SEC. Mm-hmm. It's a team that's been there forever.
But hey, college football's great. They will crown a national champion on Monday. And meanwhile, Pistons, they have really, really come on. And it's been awesome to see. They do not play tonight. They are in action tomorrow against Indiana. These are the games that I find very intriguing against the teams that are ahead of them in the playoff chase. And right now, Detroit is a game and a half out of the four seed in the East. That is a real statement. I'm going to say it again.
All right.
Pistons are a game and a half out of the four seed in the East.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
It's another crazy with a K stat.
Yep.
They're that close. I mean, that's how, you know, bunched together everything is in the Eastern Conference once you get past the top three teams. As you mentioned yesterday, it's a top three heavy conference, but everybody else is
top two. I mean, if you want to loop in the Knicks.
Why not throw the Knicks? And Pistons can get more credit for the win that way. But everybody else is all bunched together. And the Pistons are right in the thick of it, and they're playing really good basketball. They've got a budding superstar. They've got a coach in his first year that it seems like everybody's buying into it. And they've got a heady general manager right now in his first go-around. I like this team. They've become, Pistons are on. I got to watch. That's what it's turned into for me.
After winning 14 games the entire year last year, in the last 3 weeks, they've won 10. Think about that. The whole season last year, they won 14 games. They have 10 wins in the last 3 weeks.
Amazing.
They're two games over 500, one of the hottest teams in basketball. The idea of them working their way up the ladder, I really, really, you know, just think of every Piston championship that was working their way up the ladder. One year you made it to one level. The next year you climbed a little higher. And eventually you get to the top. And it feels like we started that journey back up. And it's great. It's awesome.
Nothing comes easy, it feels like, for this town, as in getting a championship or getting competitive, right? It's always work your way from the bottom and do it. The great thing about the Pistons year this year is Cade's a legit all-star this year, because they don't give that out unless your team is in it, right? In the playoff race, whatever. The fact that the Pistons are winning and Cade's doing what he's doing, he's actually going to get some national recognition possibly if he makes the all-star team. Because it doesn't mean anything if your team's not winning and they're actually winning, which is awesome. And it's a lot to do because of Cade's development. Every night he's putting up numbers.
You know, the Red Wings lose last night too, and they won seven in a row, but they were a lifeless team. They were trending out of the playoffs. And then on December 28th, they started this run. They were 7 points out of the playoffs, and I don't know what they are now. They're two? Is it 2 points out of the playoffs?
Well, for the loss last night, maybe a little bit further than that now.
They had a game in hand. They're 4 points out. They did lose some ground, but they still have a game in hand on Columbus, and they've got three games in hand on Boston. So,
yeah, and Tampa is third in the division with 49 points. So, you know, you're 5 points out of third place, which means you don't have to worry about the wild.
The one thing we all talk about, like when things are going bad, they should just break it all down and rebuild. Well, the break it all down portion is sort of exciting because you're accruing assets. Like when you're breaking it down, you're trading guys away, your team's not very good, so you're looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with those assets. Then when you get the assets, it still doesn't mean you're good. It means you usually are building around young players, and it's painful. And you forget that just because you broke it down doesn't mean you build it right back up the next year, typically. Although that's changing in college sports because of the portal, and you can completely revamp your roster, like Dusty May did at Michigan. But, the Pistons and the Red Wings had to do the break it all down thing. And now their younger players that they were building around, many of them have grown up and are starting to play to the point where they're just winning more.
Well, it's so hard to do it, I think, in the NBA, unless you hit on a couple of, like, if you're bad for a while and you get top picks and you hit on those picks, it's so hard to do. Because the way the rules are set up with free agency, teams don't give up the best players. They don't let them hit free agency. Or when they become free agents, they just simply sign them. And they can, because of their own free agents, they can go above the salary cap. And it's hard to get those players. In the NFL, guys hit free agency and you can rebuild your squad in the offseason. You know, in baseball, it's similar. You can add players of note through free agency. But the other two sports, it's harder to do. And, you know, in hockey, you're drafting 18-year-olds, mm-hmm. and you just don't know. I mean, I'm watching last night, Macklin Celebrini, who was the top pick in the draft, he's awesome. He looks like he's 12 years old. He honestly looks, I mean, that's an 18-year-old. Yep, at most, you know, but he's getting it done at this level. You just don't know until you give him the chance. And it seems like, at least with the Red Wings, that they let, you know, the guys really have to prove themselves after they've been drafted in the minors and the juniors before they're going to give them the opportunity at the big club. And you know, they haven't been able to hit on the by getting the top pick. They end up using first-round picks, but they're always slotted lower than what they were supposed to be because they have no luck when it comes to the lottery. And it's been a long road, and there have been some mistakes made along the way, and hopefully they're on the right path. But the loss last night, not a good loss, and the coach let him know about it, and he let him know publicly.
Yeah.
Which was impressive. So how do they respond? This is where you're starting to see if Todd McLellan's the right guy. Can he get this squad to respond to an egg that they laid last night?
So you just mentioned that. They haven't been to the playoffs since 2016. They are starting to trend like a team that could. We talked about the Pistons, who are historically bad. That was the top 10 worst season in a regular season history, full regular season history. Last year, the 14 wins was one of the top 10 worst regular seasons for a full schedule ever.
They got the top pick, right?
No.
Oh, they didn't. Ugh.
As we know, and we briefly mentioned Dusty May at Michigan. Last year, Michigan finished last in the Big Ten for the first time since, I believe, the 60s and only won 8 games. This year, they could be an emerging Final Four threat. Question. Which coach, J.B. Bickerstaff, Todd McLellan, or Dusty May, have done the best job with the turnaround? Who has done the best job with the turnaround? Let's take 10 texts. 248-539-9797. Which of those three coaches, Bickerstaff, McLellan, or May, do you think has done the best job in the quick turnaround of the team that they took over and are coaching right now? Given what happened a year ago or previous years and what's going on now. We'll take the first 10 texts. Remember to sign your text. Or apparently you'll be struck down by lightning, and we will read the first 10 texts that come in. Who's done the better job with the quick turnaround? Phone calls mixed in as well here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.